as a salesperson, you can look at what your company's got, what resources they've got, and not think, you know, all these resources are on the web, there's no point in me doing anything with them. Because believe me, a lot of your customers are going to struggle to find those resources, mm-hmm. and either pointing to them or packaging them up into a single PDF, or, you know, just emailing them when you think it's the right time for your customer. That is so easy to do.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Leads to Growth. I'm your host, Chris McCoy, with the National Association of Sales Professionals. And once again, we've got another amazing guest today and a conversation I'm really looking forward to. Mike Maynard from Napier. Napier is Mike's company, and Mike has a beautiful story, Napier Business Marketing and PR. And he's got a beautiful story of how he got there, and I'm really looking forward to him sharing his story. So, Mike, thanks for joining us today, sir.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on the podcast, Chris.
Absolutely. So, Mike, first off, tell us a little bit about what Napier B2B Marketing, PR, what y'all do there, and then tell us a little bit about how you got there, because I think that's a little fun story that I like people to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Napier's an integrated marketing agency. So, basically, what we do is we help people sell products through marketing. And our real focus is selling to engineers. So that can be a wide range of engineers, whether it's people doing electronics design, civil engineers in construction, people building, you know, new airport terminals. But what we do is we understand those customers and we understand how to attract and engage them. And we're particularly focused, to be honest, at the top of the funnel, the marketing side. But one of the things that's really unique about the agency is we spend a lot of time talking to salespeople to find out whether our marketing actually had any significant impact on sales, because that is important, despite what some agencies will tell you.
I love that. And you know, what a beautiful way to measure your ROI, right? Asking your salespeople if those pieces of those marketing content were valuable, if they came up in conversation, if they used them to nurture leads forward. And that's the ultimate test. So very, very cool. And I love how you brought it in from a technical background as well. So you originally started in engineering, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I started my career as an electronics engineer, went to university, and then designed all sorts of things from, you know, mixing desks, recording studios, through to military radars.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Very cool. And then you took this savvy, you know, what was the nexus or the inspiration to move into the marketing side of this world? You know, because this is a very fun transition. A lot of people start in an industry or in a field, something they have passion in or whatever, or maybe they just fell in, and now they've got this immense education and understanding, and now leveraging that in the PR and marketing world can be a very big advantage. So,
yeah, no, it's a great question. Actually, it wasn't a straightforward transition. It certainly wasn't planned. I'd love to pretend I had a career plan, but that wasn't the case. So I started off doing electronics design work as an engineer. I quite enjoyed it, but I wasn't very good at it. I really wasn't very good at the kind of detail of getting things into production. And I found that hard work. So I took a look at what I could do, and I decided actually what I liked to do most was talking about engineering rather than actually doing it. So
beautiful.
I moved into a technical sales role did technical sales for firstly a channel partner and then working for an American semiconductor company. And that was great. That got me to travel around Europe, meeting, you know, lots of clients. It was really amazing. And then I decided that, you know, actually I needed to think of a career forward. I was running a team of technical salespeople in Europe and looking for the next step. And at the time I thought, you know, it'd be great to move into marketing. You know, one of the things that you could have done was move to the States. One of the things you could have done is gone into a full-blown sales role. I've always been a bit of a geek. I like to keep my geekiness. So I could do the talking about technology, but I could move forward in my career. So I moved into marketing, became European marketing manager. Went on, you know, one of these leadership development courses after about 4 or 5 years, you know, running the marketing for this semiconductor company, had a few beers. People said to me, oh, you should run your own company, Mike. And I think it was actually them trying to be nice to me and say, I would never, ever want to be your boss. You'd be a nightmare. But, you know, I actually took that at face value and I thought, oh, yeah, it'd be great. You know, kind of put it in the back of my mind. And literally about 6 weeks later, the people who founded and owned the agency that I was working with had decided to retire and they're looking for someone to acquire the agency. And I just thought, that can't be that hard, can it? I've done a bit of marketing client side. Agency's got to be the same. Let's move across. As I found out, it was quite different. I probably should have prepared a bit more. And I also probably shouldn't have bought a technology agency 2 weeks before the dot-com crash. You know, that was bad timing.
Yeah, a little hindsight 2020, yeah?
Absolutely, yeah.
So I love that you say you mentioned the leadership development course. Did you take any training or courses when you made the transition from just the technical side to that first sales role?
That's a great question. The answer is I didn't take really any sales training courses when I started off. It was kind of, you know, throw you in at the deep end, go see customers, talk about products, hope something sticks. And it kind of worked. And hopefully it was enthusiasm and you know, really love of the products that came across that helped sell it. But no, I didn't. I mean, later on I took courses and also I did take an MBA, which really helped in terms of understanding marketing and also ultimately helped in terms of running an agency. But, you know, first off, straight from engineering into sales, it was a big jump. But I was doing technical sales. So, you know, quite often there was a commercial guy with me as well, which did make things a little easier.
Sure, absolutely. I love that. All right, so great. So I love the transition as well into sales and then from sales over to marketing, kind of understanding, you know, bottom up, right? Understanding the roles that are impacted through that way. And then you get to, you know, running your own agency. And I've seen, you know, you've had some growth, some recent acquisitions, and you've grown in a very, very quick way, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been steady. I mean, I've been running the agency for, you know, 21 years now.
20 years.
Which sounds like forever to me. I mean, it sounds like a long time. But we've grown from 7 or 8 people when I started up to, I think we're about 41, 42 people now.
That's
great. I think we're 42 tomorrow. We've got someone starting tomorrow. So, you know, we've had that growth, but it's been pretty steady. I mean, to be honest, you know, at the start of the agency journey, I actually got really bruised and battered because I say, you know, and I said jokingly, you know, don't buy a tech agency just before the dot-com crash. But literally, I mean, we were in a situation where the only calls were to cut budget.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, 2 weeks after acquiring it, committing, you know, basically a house to the business. Mm-hmm. It was pretty scary. So that was tough. And for the first few years, we were very, very cautious in the way we grew and very slow. But we've gradually picked up pace. We've made 3 acquisitions now. Mm-hmm. So the most recent is only about a week ago, which is really exciting. Mm-hmm. But we've tended to find, you know, small, very niche acquisitions that fit really well with our business. And we seem to take about 4 years to find each one. But when we do it, it works really well.
That's fantastic. And I loved also what you said too, is what you started with something that you were passionate about and had some knowledge on, right? It's a lot easier to put yourself out there and, you know, in the fire and go out there when you have a passion for what you're speaking about and you have a passion for the industry. This is a, you know, great move for a great discussion for anybody looking to get into sales, getting, you know, looking for a great compensation plan, a great culture. These are all very important things, but make sure that you're in an industry on a topic that you don't mind talking about every single day, because that's going to get you through that deception and that rut where it's a little tough to build that business, right, Mike?
I think that's very true. I mean, as I said, you know, I didn't take sales training. I mean, my initial sales approach was like, man, I think this is awesome. I just want to tell you why I think this product is great. And it worked, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, enthusiasm in sales works. I think sales is amazing. I probably got out of it because I think marketing's a little bit easier sometimes. Sales is great because you can really drive things with enthusiasm. But the challenge is not every day is a great day. And maintaining that enthusiasm, I think is really tough. I think salespeople who can do it and they can keep going back and doing, you know, the same sales process over and over again, they're quite often the most successful salespeople because they know what's right and they know that they're going to fail some of the time, but they're happy to you know, keep trying even when they've had those failures. It's awesome.
I completely agree. The resilience of a salesperson. And like you said, too, you took passion and some resilience and you brought in just communication, right? Authentic communication. And that's something that it can't be faked. It can't be written in a script and it can't be you know, it can't be lied about. Like it is, the intent is felt. And so I think when you have that proper intent, we have a little love and a passion, you're going to be able to attract people to listen, and they're going to be attracted to that authentic you, which I think then gives you a better chance of converting those sales. So tell me about in the sales industry, when did you really realize or understand the value of the marketing pieces and PR that were being done by your teams in order to help you sell better?
That's a great question. So I think it took a while, to be honest.
Like most because, of us, for sure, know, yeah.
You start off and you know, when I started with my first role in the channel, you know, working for a distributor, multiple suppliers that we're trying to promote into different customers, we did things like, you know, back in the day, it was kind of a newspaper type newsletter, you know, physical printed newsletter, you know. But It was hard to see that directly linking. And I think also, you know, we had things like data books. So it was amazing, you know, because, you know, back at, and this sounds so ancient, but last century when I was in sales, you know, we used to cut down trees and put ink on the processed wood and carry that to customers. But for a salesperson, that was amazing because this customer needed that data book to be able to actually do their job. So we could get a meeting fairly easily. So how important was marketing then? I mean, it was important, but you know, to be honest, sales was really key. And then, you know, around the turn of the century, I just saw the move to digital. So, you know, the late 90s, you could see digital coming in, you could see email having an impact. And it had gone from like a few weirdos who were doing this stuff on the internet to, you know, absolutely being the key thing. I remember my first role, you know, I got an email address and my boss was like, why do you want an email address? You've got a fax machine. Why do you want an email address? It's like, but it's so cool. And so you saw that with email coming in, and then you saw the web, you know, starting to really replace physical books. Mm-hmm. And you just thought, man, this is such an exciting industry. And I think more and more we've seen sales jobs actually to some extent get harder. Because people are talking to sales reps later on in their buying journey. And that's definitely continuing. And over COVID, I think that's actually, you know, for salespeople got worse. It's got harder to go see people. And so now as a salesperson, you're reliant on marketing, getting, you know, the customer through a huge chunk of that buying journey. And then as a salesperson, you somehow got to work your magic in that last, you know, maybe 30%. Of the journey. That's tough. So I've liked marketing because it's become, I believe, much more influential and much more important as part of the overall sales process. And I also would argue, I think sales has become harder.
You know, it's very interesting you say that too, because you know, it's that middle area where sales and marketing come together, where, you know, it was once telemarketing, you know, now it's, I think it's SDR role is what they call it now, you know, and it's this piece that kind of moves back and forth from nurturing somebody through the process. And now, like you say, more and more, one, there's so much competition out there. You know, there's just a million different other companies and a million different other options. So the salesperson is special now because they have the opportunity to stand apart, right? Not always is your differentiator going to be aware and the person's going to see the value. Sometimes you are the differentiator in this crazy world because people don't know what they don't know. And they're looking for a little bit of that certainty because, right, they know what they know. And if you can confirm that for them, now they feel like they're smart and they feel like you're smart and they knew what they wanted. And now they can kind of move forward. So it's bringing certainty is a really big part of that sales position now.
I think that's actually a fascinating point, Chris. I hadn't really thought about it before, but actually what happens is you have this big chunk of the customer journey where the customer's, you know, going off, they're doing research, they're looking on the internet, they may be asking colleagues, but they're never certain. And then it's that end of the journey where the salesperson comes in and they've got to crystallize that certainty to get the sale. And that's something, certainty is something that's very hard to achieve in marketing because everybody's got access to the same channels, the same tools, you know, so that's a fascinating point. I love that.
Yeah. And like I said, you being in the marketing side of things, that education, right? People are out there searching. So are they finding what they're looking for? And so before it was, they don't know what they're looking for. I need to put it in front of their face. How can I do that? Now they're out there looking. We just have to make sure that they can find what they're looking for. And I think that's why your role and what y'all do at Napier is now so much more important, because it's coming up in those places where they're looking and they're researching. You know, the internet's it's not getting any smaller anytime soon. So, you know, to be able to stand out in that marketing way, now you're the one that has to stand out and be the loudest. And then the certainty's got to come later in the transaction. So it's such a beautiful relationship. And technical, I think, is what is a very interesting piece, because that's where your role is even more valuable.
Yeah, and technical marketing is great, because people want to go out and they want to find, you know, information, data, facts about products in a technical sale. And so we have a really huge role. You know, and I talked about this sales journey becoming more marketing and less sales in terms of time. I think that's true. But I think it's particularly true where we are in technical marketing, where you can find a lot of that information. I mean, like I said, you know, when I started in technical sales, if somebody wanted the data they needed to design a product into their system, they had to, you know, ask for that data book, and I could go and walk that in as a salesperson. I was way at the start of that buying journey. You know, today they can download data sheets, application notes, manuals, and they can also see information from people who've used the product, commenting on how easy it is to use and, you know, whether there's anything they should have. They can download software. So it's a very different environment, and that's very much changed the role of the salesperson in that whole sales process.
Very much so. So I love this conversation, Mike, and appreciate it so much. So as a sales, we've got a big audience of salespeople out there, right? And a lot of them are new in sales. This is, you know, a lot of people are transitioning to sales. Sales is the number, three highest paying job for students without a degree out of school. I think it's the third most popular job for students out of school, out of college as well. So it is a fast, and SaaS is creating more jobs every day for sales. So as people are going into sales, what are some advice or tool or lessons that you could tell salespeople on how to really leverage this content? Because, you know, I see some people just sharing their company's LinkedIn post or just forwarding it to me, you know, hey, did you see this? Like, yeah, come on, you know, but like what are the ways that salespeople can really leverage marketing PR?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, Chris, because, you know, we've talked about marketing getting bigger as part of the sales journey, but actually salespeople have more of an opportunity to overlap into that marketing segment now than they've ever done before. And so there's lots of ways they can do that. But basically, I think it comes down to trying to help people. And I think the mistake that salespeople make is they try and share things that they think are clever or show them in the right light or are the right corporate thing to share. But actually, you know, if you want to be a great salesperson, share something that's helpful. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's the latest LinkedIn post from your company, because, you know, certainly if you work for a bigger company, they tend to be fairly conservative and let's be honest, not always the most exciting posts. But quite often it can be something that, you know, you've seen in the press that relates to your products. You know, it can be case studies. Case studies are an amazing thing for salespeople to share because that starts a conversation. You know, as soon as you see a case study, you know, I do it myself where I see other agencies, you know, perhaps using a SaaS tool that I don't know about, you know, you're like, well, what are they doing? How are they doing it? Why is it better? Is it better than ours? You know, and so I think it's sharing things that, you know, spark that conversation and can help your customer on a day to day. And that's hard to find. I mean, that is hard to find, but a lot of it's about telling things they're not aware of. So, you know, that might be information about new products or new approaches. A lot of it might be just putting them in contact with the right people who can help them as well. You know, I remember as a technical salesperson, I wasn't, you know, out there negotiating the big contracts. I was really trying to get products selected at a, you know, an early design stage. And so bringing me in was a key part of what the salespeople did. You know, and actually, you know, some of the best things that salespeople could say was when they got asked a question, they could say to the customer, look, that's a really good question. I'm a salesperson. I don't know that. I need to bring in the guy who knows. And suddenly the customer feels valued. They feel like they've asked a relevant question. And they also get a much better response because they're talking to someone who does actually know the answer. So I think it's help. It, summarizing it all, it's just help the customers. And that means being very proactive and very thoughtful when you do that.
Yeah, I love that. And the 2 points there, you know, one is I love the upsell to bring on the person that knows, right? Because first off, now you're acknowledging, if I'm calling and researching a tool or something that I want to buy, I don't want to feel stupid. I want you to make me feel smart. So acknowledging that my question is a good one is very important. One, not trying to give me some short answer bullet point that you read that you know that you're supposed to recite when this question's answered, right? But to acknowledge the great question, right? The significance of that person, and then to get them the certainty. Now, when they get an answer from a person with a certified title and official position, now that's one of those things that brings that certainty. And so I really love that value. And it's also, then you said listening, it's about knowing how to add value. And in order to do that, you've got to be involved in conversations. We're most of the time doing this from home now. Social selling is a huge, huge, huge piece of most salespeople's business. And in order to offer something that's valuable, you have to be involved in the conversation. Can't be eavesdropping on the back end. You've got to be involved. You've got to be going out there and interacting with people on social. Do you guys teach a lot about social selling to your sales teams, Mike?
So we work really hard to try and get sales teams to engage in social selling. And it's fascinating because I would say most clients that we work with, it's around 40 to 50% of salespeople actually engage.
Well, in the technical industry too, you're dealing with maybe a little bit of a different breed of people sometimes as well, right?
Maybe a different breed, but also we're dealing with an industry with a whole load of information. I mean, way more information than many other industries. So it's really easy. I mean, we had I guess some of the listeners are sat there thinking, so how can I help? You know, I've got this customer. I really don't understand how I'm going to help. So we had a client who had some blog posts. They're called Back to Basics. It was about their industry, and it was really the basics of designing power supplies. That's the industry they're in. And you think, everybody knows that. Well, actually, the answer is not everybody does, because, you know, quite a lot of people either didn't start off as power supply engineers or having to do it as part of, you know, a job that's much broader. So we took these Back to Basic posts that we generated for the client, and we said, do you know what? This should be an ebook. This would be great, because actually people want to know the basics. And the client was like, you're nuts. You know, it's blog posts. It's freely available. Nobody's going to register to download an ebook that's freely available. And we said, yeah, no, we might be nuts. We might be wrong. I mean, we really weren't certain at the time, but we said, we actually think this is going to work. And I'd love to claim it was a real genius bit of inspiration for us. We felt it would work, but we really weren't sure. Actually, it's the most successful campaign they've ever had.
Wow.
And it's about, you know, helping someone. And all we did was we took content that was developed to help people and we packaged it slightly differently. And magically, you know, everyone was like, this is amazing. You know, it's just so convenient. It was a great lead gen tool, worked really well. It ended up being actually a physical book as well as as an ebook. So I think as a salesperson, you can look at what your company's got, what resources they've got, and not think, you know, all these resources are on the web, there's no point in me doing anything with them, because believe me, a lot of your customers are going to struggle to find those resources and either pointing to them or packaging them up into a single PDF or, you know, just emailing them when you think it's the right time for your customer. That is so easy to do. And if you do that, that's helping massively. You don't have to be the person with all the knowledge. It's just helping people find the right information.
I think that's so beautiful, because once again, me claiming to have all the knowledge is not going to give you any certainty. Me knowing that I can be a resource and find the knowledge no matter what, that's going to give you certainty, because nobody knows everything. And I love that. And being supportive, knowing the right time to send something. There's nothing worse than getting a document in your text message, your email, that has nothing to do with you or anything that you do in your company at all. Like it's very alienating very quickly. But you also said too, don't take those things for granted. You know, you may know all the resources that are available, but providing access to them, providing ease of use to get to them. And also when the question is being asked, right, look for blog posts that contain certain topics and know that this is going to come up and be able to drop your knowledge and your resources. And then one more thing you said too, Mike, in a world with so much data and technical numbers and details and everything. It's so easy to get lost in those numbers and details. But what did Mike say that the most valuable resources? One was a book, right? Taking those resources and putting them into a way that people consume them, probably some stories or some different things that activated the imagination, but also the case studies. Right? Why is a case study so valuable? Because it's a story about a person, maybe somebody like you, as opposed to facts and numbers. They say, what we say always in sales, facts tell, stories sell.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the other thing salespeople can do is have a bit of fun. You know, yes. you can give a little bit of insight to case studies. Case studies are always written to sound corporate and everything worked well, everything was fine. And trust me, you know, in my industry, in technology, nothing ever goes right perfectly the whole time. So, So there's always a story to tell. You know, we did some marketing. It's basically account-based marketing. We had a list of accounts we wanted to target that were all local to the business. We sent them a pebble from the beach. And it just had a note in saying, you know, why don't you work with an agency that's only a stone's throw away? We got some really good feedback from it, but we got one particular client who invited us to pitch who actually turned out to be a really good client. And I remember, you know, coming back into the office after having pitched going, we have smashed this. And the office just fell about laughing. And we were like, what's happened? We're coming back. We've won a big client here, you know, and people are laughing at us. And someone said, I don't suppose you've seen the blog of the guy who was marketing manager. And we're like, well, no, of course not. We're just driven back. He goes, oh, he's just blogged about hiring Napier. So we all know we've been hired. And he said the only reason he hired us was because he loved the fact that the mailer was so fun.
Wow.
And they said, we know you're going to say it's your great sales pitch, but actually, no, it was this. So I think, you know, salespeople can do that. They can send stuff that's a bit of fun. And sending a stone from the beach is free almost, you know, a little bit of postage. So there's lots of things salespeople can do that adds a bit more color, adds a bit more, you know, I guess it's making it more human, the yes. content that us marketers produce that sometimes is perhaps, you know, a little too earnest and not really human enough.
I love that. And you got to remember, there's three other competitors, especially in the technical industry, right? The three other competitors doing this almost the same thing as you, maybe a little bit different and maybe a little bit of a different user case, right? But when it comes to making that decision, they're going to have to deal with a rep all the time. They're going to have to deal with somebody. And if you can come in that like and earn that like right off the bat, then all you have to do is follow through with it. Did they cross the T's and dot the I's at the end? Okay, great. We'll stick with them. And I think that's a beautiful thing, beautiful way to stand out. And these are fun. Like, this is being human. And I think that's what we forget. I just love that sales was very quickly turned into this automation template jumble of spam and has now gotten to a place of where humans are becoming the best salespeople and people want to work with people, can connect with them on a human level. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And marketing has to be the connection of that. They have to be that first intro. They have to be authentic and they have to, because it has to be a line of authority that goes straight through. And marketing sets that line right at the beginning. Salespeople got to confirm it. They got to lock it down and close the deal. But marketing sets that line from the very beginning. Love this stuff, Mike.
It's great. I mean, I think, you know, marketing really should be there to make the sales job easier because ultimately sales is where the deals are closed. That's what really matters to an organization. So everything marketing should be doing is moving that customer. And we talk about velocity through the sales funnel, you know, moving that customer more quickly to that sale. And salespeople, they're still the guys closing. And that is important. That is super important. And that's never going to go away.
Absolutely. Mike, well, this has been a great conversation, man. I really appreciate it. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn. I'm the only Mike Maynard at Napier, so fairly easy to find. But, you know, if anybody wants to contact me direct, my email is just mike@napierb2b.com. Just send me an email. I'd love to chat.
Fantastic. And definitely get them on LinkedIn, y'all. Great follow, interesting conversation, and they're doing a lot of really cool things over there at Napier. So definitely check them out. And all their information will be down here in the comments section. So, Mike, thanks so much for joining us. Y'all, you know what to do. Leads to growth. Make sure that you like, comment, and subscribe, all those things below. And tune in next week, and we'll see you for another great interview. Have a great day, Mike.
Thanks very much, Chris. Thanks for having me on Leads to Growth.
Absolutely. Have a great day, y'all. We'll see you on the next one. Cheers.